and welcome to Think Rant today. Oh, it started already, is it? Today's the 28th of July, 2011, and I'm your host, John Stabler, and with me is the genius of Trevor Williams. That's it. Simple introduction this week.
Shit.
There you go.
Okay, I was wondering where that went to. I haven't seen that for about 15 years.
Yeah.
I was wondering.
No, basically what's happened is we were meant to have Stephen on, but he's got back from his European vacation and he's still knackered, so he said he'd give it a miss this week. He'll be back next week. We also had a guest, but unfortunately something came up for them. So it's me and Trev this week.
Ah, but the genius of Trev.
The
fuck-wittedness of Trev will probably make a couple of observations as well.
Yeah, and the anti-genius of John. It may cause us to just... annihilate or something like that. I don't know, but we've coped before, just the two of us. So
that's true.
Yeah,
I had a hypo the last time though.
This
that
is
was
true.
A little odd.
Oh, I didn't mind it.
But nobody noticed. Nobody noticed.
No. I tell you what we're going to do before we're going to crack on with some stories. We're going to do some announcements, if that's okay.
Great.
And first of all, I'd like to plug our blog, because our blog is a source of lots of interesting information. It's where you can download other episodes if you don't have the iTunes. You can also find some interesting posts by me, Trev, Steve, on just random things that we want to rant about or think about. If you want to take part in the show, you can also tweet us at ThinkRant. You can email us at our new email address, info@thinkrant.co.uk. And we have a Facebook group if you want to join that as well. Send us messages on there and we will try and entertain you. Because that's what we are, a bunch of entertaining monkeys. Trev, we've actually got email.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
All we've usually got is proof that people have downloaded stuff.
Yeah.
Not the proof that people are listening to shit.
Yeah.
This is proof people are listening to it.
Mm. Now, Excellent. So what happened is, I mean, this email is quite important. So what I did is I got a professional voiceover artist to record it so that, you know, well.
Okay.
Here we go.
Dear ThinkRant, love the show, long time listener, etc. I was engaged in my daily vocation the other day when I spied a handsome fellow in the crowd sporting a rather dashing ThinkRant t-shirt. From whence can I purchase such hallowed vestments? Such a garment would be most aesthetically complimentary to my feminine portable knick-knack receptacle.
So I think the question there is that she liked the look of the t-shirt because it went with her handbag. And the answer to the question is, you can get the ThinkRant t-shirt from our blog. Trev?
Great. That's brilliant.
It does continue, unfortunately.
A random and completely unsolicited email from a complete stranger who happened to have been listening.
It's not a stranger.
That's wonderful.
It's not a stranger. All will be revealed.
Please continue.
Alas, I must also register a formal complaint. It has become apparent that some guests on the podcast are not being received courteously. In fact, they are often openly mocked and ridiculed on the show. An example of this is your shocking behaviour towards the young Mr. Rhys Morgan Esquire. This uncouth and ungentlemanly nonsense must stop if you are to retain your reputation as a paragon of respectability, intelligence, and wit in liberal culture.
So, what do you think of that then? Valid criticism?
So, advice, I think, that in order to shed this ridiculous idea people have that we are paragons of wit and virtue, we're just going to have to throw out some more cussing to people. And okay, challenge accepted.
There you go. So hang on, it's not quite finished yet. She just needs to sign off.
Okay.
Hugs and kisses to my favourite co-host and cuddly bear, Stephen.
Okay, now I'm getting worried. hang on.
Yours, Mrs. C. Cole.
It makes sense now. It makes perfect sense. So, there is actually a PS as well. What do you mean, why?
Mrs. Oh, right. Cheryl Cole.
Yeah.
I get it.
Oh,
clearly.
Yeah. There is a PS, hang on.
PS. Please inform Trevor that the ginger one says that the antibiotic cream has brought the infection under control and wonders if he is going to return her phone calls. She asks if he would be available for a social engagement, for example, a caffeinated beverage or evening dinner event.
So...
So, the ginger one off of Girls Aloud, is that?
Yeah, so are you going to return her calls or not? Obviously, this, you know, for Cheryl to be concerned.
See, some people might say you've got too much time on your hands. I would say what you lack is the extra 5 minutes of time it would require to say, you know what, I'm not going to do this.
What? I don't know what you're talking about. I mean, you know...
Okay. Genuine emails.
Cheryl Cole takes the time to, you know... So we're going to take the advice on board. I'll pass on the hugs and kisses to Stephen, and maybe you can make that phone call, because surely you feel guilty over that.
Okay.
Okay, well, fine, all right. I was hoping that you'd be slightly more impressed with, you know, our celebrity feedback. But, okay, we'll carry on. I'm going to go for the first story, because it's my podcast, I guess. So, there you go. Well, it's ours.
And if
but...
not, I'll edit it and put it back. You know, what are you going to do about it?
No, I'm not that bad. Here's the headline. This is from The Guardian Online. Facebook bans Nirvana album cover, then says never mind. So, I mean... Have you ever listened to Nirvana?
Yeah. When they first came out, man. Great.
Yeah? Did you own the Nevermind album like I did?
I didn't. Because for the 3 years of university, which is when I was listening to them, everybody had that album.
Oh.
So I didn't need to.
No. You had a cassette instead, did you?
I did.
Okay, fair enough.
Maybe we should explain to our younger listeners.
Yeah, sure.
So musical storage used to happen on things called cassettes.
This is true, yeah. and I'm telling a lie, I had it on cassette because 91, that was before the CD came out, didn't it? It was all vinyl back then. So. Yeah. So, can you imagine that? Before CDs, which are already outdated and been replaced by MP3 files, there were these big fat black records and cassette tapes. Now, the cover for Nevermind, which was a good album, you know, not the best,
great.
But it was pretty good, featured a, you know, a young little baby underwater, as they're quite often pictured, chasing a $1 bill. What the, you know, I think the $1 bill was quite,
yeah,
it was quite obviously added, you know, so, you know, but people kicked up a fuss about the picture of the baby, because one, it's naked, and two, he's hung like a donkey for a baby.
Hung like a baby donkey.
Exactly. Sorry, that's what I meant to say. Yeah, hung like a baby donkey. In my opinion, you know, I haven't inspected a lot of babies' willies, but from the few I've seen...
Just a lot of baby donkeys, but that's your porn collection, and nobody's business but your own. You've got nothing to apologise for.
No, exactly. Although, remember, donkey porn is technically illegal in the UK if it's bestiality. Anyway, so what's happened is, over the years, this album art has caused controversy, but no one's really gone in too over the top with it. However, it's featured on Facebook a few times. Some people who like Nirvana have perhaps used it for a profile picture. And Facebook they decided to pull it. To delete the image.
What an unfortunate choice of words.
No, as in... As, yeah.
To ban the image.
Yes. Yeah, thank you very much. But...
Oh, dear God. 10 minutes in.
10 minutes in, and we already have the penis jokes. You know, I'm trying to be serious here. And this says a bigger thing about this country's sort of morbid fear of naked children or just... children been sexualized in any way. Now, I mean, I'm not against women, children being overtly sexualized on purpose, but what I'm talking about is this pervasive feeling.
You're not against children being overtly sexualized on purpose.
I'm not
sure.
Surely
you need to rephrase that.
Okay, I'll edit this. Yeah, okay, I'll edit it.
I mean, seriously, that is one thing you want to end. I realise it was just a
slip of the tongue.
Very slip. Oh, it's getting worse.
Okay. Anyway.
Okay.
You know, all this business of, you know, giving, you know, 8-year-old girls padded bras, I'm thinking that's maybe a bit too much. But at the same time, I'm not for this Daily Mail moral panic where children need to be hidden away from everybody because everyone's a potential paedophile. That was my point.
Yes.
Yeah.
And in fact, when the album was released, the record company was worried about it and said, can we put a sticker on it just to cover the baby's willy? And Kurt Cobain said, we can if the sticker says, if you're offended by a naked child, then you're clearly a paedophile.
I like that. Yeah, that'll work brilliantly. So, obviously, a lot of people kicked off. I mean, this album art has been around for so long, and so many people say it's iconic, for fuck's sake. You know, everyone knows it, and it was reinstated after. I mean, that is the story. But why, I mean, who the hell, right, takes a job at Facebook, you know, Mr. In Charge of Censorship, sees this and doesn't think, well, practically every person in the world's already seen this, but instead says, need to censor that.
Somebody with a very, very dodgy porn collection, John. I get the feeling that people who say all that, oh my God, think of the children, how very dare anybody do anything, are generally a little bit suspicious and worried. And it's fair enough to say about, as you quite rightly said, the sexualization of children. Putting children in unacceptably sexual clothing and situations is dodgy and wrong. But things like back in the early noughties, when, was it Boots was saying, we're not going to process your film if if the children are naked in it.
Yeah.
It was back when people were still using film before everybody's camera got changed for a digital one.
Mm.
And that was a bizarre policy change. And I'm just guessing Boots because they're such a widespread chain.
Yeah, and the problem is, it's for me, it's I can tell the difference between nudity and sort of a sexual image. Some people just don't seem to be able to make that distinction. So that's why people, you know, women don't feel comfortable breastfeeding because they feel that by breastfeeding they're somehow being obscene, which is quite interesting. How a woman, perhaps on a train or in a park, can breastfeed, but another woman who just wanted to take her top off to catch an all over tan will probably attract the attention of the law, and I think that's ridiculous, to be honest.
Well, it depends where. If you've got a kid with you, then breastfeeding is fine. If you're out with your husband...
breastfeeding's not fine.
and equally, if you're on a beach on a sunny day, well, then why would anybody whine about just taking your top off and catching some rays? But
people do, but that's my point.
In the middle of a crowded restaurant...
Well, it depends. I mean, you're kind of blurring it a little bit more there because you're talking about, like, you know, what is sociably acceptable as in attire to wear in a restaurant. I'd be a bit miffed if a guy walked into a restaurant, sat down, and he had no shirt on. But what I'm talking about is, why is it okay for men to be somewhere where they can be shirtless but women can't be? You know, obviously, on the continent, this isn't an issue because... Yeah. Women are allowed to do that, but I think it's the British uptightness, and I think it's all kind of related, very well, in a small way to, you know, children being naked. It's just assumed that they're naked for sexual purposes, which I think is actually, yeah, you got a damaged brain if that's the first thing you think of. But there you go, that's me.
Yeah, I think if this is some campaign for more naked wubs, I'm up for it.
Yeah,
sign me up for that.
I'm all for more naked boobs. But
not necessarily for my own sexual gratification, but you know, if I...
No, no,
if
so...
I, but anyway...
Women are getting all over tan, definitely, yeah.
There is a problem for... it's mostly 14 and 15-year-old boys.
Right.
Do you remember what it was like to be a 14 or 15-year-old boy?
Not a lot different to now, to be honest.
Well, get a stiffy at the drop of a hat.
Oh, yeah.
You just, the curtains are just folded in an odd shape that reminds you of just one curve on a woman, and all of a sudden,
yeah, even even Pyrodella does it for me.
Even what now?
Pyrodella, you know, where you see, yeah.
Oh, pareidolia.
Pareidolia, sorry.
Ah, yeah.
I forgot the I at the end.
Yeah.
Pyrodolia. Yeah. Yeah. Even that can do it. Ruin the joke for myself.
Oh, yeah,
there.
Totally. yeah. I think it's dreadful for those poor teenagers if we do end up in a more liberated society. But they're getting stiffies at everything anyway.
And to be fair, if their mothers...
opening and closing used to set me off. It's just bizarre. Anything.
Yeah. And if their mothers are getting their gerblies out, that might actually counteract it a bit as well. You know?
Good point.
There you go.
Yes.
So there's a practicality to it there. So that's it. I think we've spent far too long on that. I just wanted to mention it.
To the point where
passing.
You started to regret bringing it up.
I certainly did. there's going to be so much heavy editing going on.
No.
Oh, right. We have at least one live listener, and that's Stephen Brett, who's tweeting us. By the way, let me just remind people that you can tweet him, and he has the ThinkRant phone, which will receive the tweets, but he's not actually here. But I'm sure he will let us
know. Maybe he's sending on a tweet from somebody else. You never know.
Yeah, not that one. He's just enjoying us talking about boobies. Hi, Steve.
Cool.
Okay.
I hope he's not enjoying it too much. That's just sick. There's a weird thing that I wanted to mention. It's a bit popular culture, but you did set me up and with the ginger one off Girls Aloud, so I think I'm allowed. Do you remember the episode of The Apprentice, right, this year? You watched it, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Do you see where that Natasha Scribbins woman, she launched a magazine that asked, how do you blow your load?
Yeah, I remember that well.
Right. Okay, well, ho, 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 she's so simple, what is she like? Let's all laugh at her. Well, fair enough, actually, yeah. But if we're going to laugh at her being naive, then we shouldn't ignore when other people mess up, especially publicly, right?
No, sure.
Next week's Radio Times has got the new female dragon for Dragon's Den, excuse me, Hilary Devey, on the cover in one of her trademark mental shoulder pad jackets.
Right.
That look like they're meant to disguise protruding bat wings from her back. They're a bit crazy. But the headline reads, Enter the New Dragon. Now, I know it's in reference to a famous martial arts film.
Yeah.
But they've tampered with the structure there. They've called it Enter the New Dragon. And dragon is used to refer to these people. So basically the Radio Times is asking the nation if they fancy having a go up the new celebrity smug czar. And the nation is going to answer back based on that photo. Nah, you're right. I'm fine, thanks. And this is from a previously respected magazine that just last week decided to go all gay pride by featuring 17-year-old Olympic hopeful Tom Daley, damn near naked on the cover in a come fly with me pose. I don't know if he's gay or not, but I'm telling you, there were some pissed off gay fellas who got their latest issue of Organus home and found bloody TV listings all through it. How pissed off would you be if you were either of those two people? Tom Daley, a guy in a sport people only watch in the hope someone clocks their head on the board, and he's going to be inundated by hopeful male sexual advances. And there's Hilary Devey, whose male sexual advances will have dried up entirely.
This is true. But, you know, I kind of think that, you know, people don't go out to make themselves, you know, gay icons, or even sex icons, surely. You know? It's just, you just get picked, don't you?
Well, I did, yes, certainly. I don't know. What?
Well, you know, no one says...
I'm sure a push-up bra has something to do with it.
Well, right, for instance, Lady Gaga, she's become a gay icon. Do you think that she started out at the beginning of her career saying, I'm going to do music which will appeal to, you know, gay people, and so that I can become, you know, the latest thing for them? I don't know. I mean, I can understand people embracing it. I certainly would. I'd love to be a gay icon.
You heard it here first, folks. This is going to be the most famous of all of our episodes.
I know. I mean, I just love any type of attention, you know? So, it doesn't. You know, I'm not picky. I'm not picky. I just want to be loved. What can I say?
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is going to be the fabulous episode. This See is how many the... extra downloads we get.
the one where John says that we need to sexualize children more, I'm sure.
Oh, God.
No, we don't want to do that, no. So, yeah, I'm just sounding very nervous all of a sudden. Are you done on that one? Shall we move on?
Yeah, it was just 2 weeks in a row. I like to buy the radio time. I don't know, maybe it's an old-fashioned thing because we always had it in our house. Well, everybody always had it.
Do you watch a lot of TV?
I do.
Right, okay. I have no use for radio times because I don't. Just out of curiosity, have you been watching The Story of Maths?
You clearly do not watch a lot of TV. No, I haven't been watching The Story of Maths.
Fine, right, we'll skip that. It's Marcus du Sautoy, and he's talking about maths and the history of it. It's very interesting.
Well, that would explain the title.
Yeah. But if you haven't seen it, fine. I'm going to move on to the next story, which is scientific fraud in the UK. The time's come for regulation. Now, this is Brian Deer. You've heard of Brian Deer, haven't you?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll give you a reminder. Brian Deer was the journalist who researched the MMR fiasco and exposed Dr. Andrew Wakefield's, the fact that it was a load of cobblers, because scientists did that. Not only that, he investigated and came up with evidence that he was actually fraudulent as well, which is why Dr. Wakefield now lives in the States, because he's no longer licensed to practice medicine in the UK. So what's the point of this is, and this is an interesting thing, something for you to think about, is he says that the case of Wakefield and other studies that have been carried out in the pharmaceutical industry where they've kind of cherry-picked results are evidence that we need to start keeping scientists honest. And although peer review is useful, it's not designed to catch fraud, blatant, falsification of results. So therefore, we need to start regulating scientists.
That's a very good point, because the scientific method follows data, doesn't it?
Yes.
You'll have a look at a study and how many times it's been followed up and how many, how similar to the first one it was. You don't look at a person and check every single one of the studies they've done and if they're clearly following an agenda or a paycheck.
Yeah, I mean, you can pick holes in methodology by reading their methodology in the paper, but if they're lying about the methodology, if they're just flat out lying, there's no way you can actually check that without some kind of regulation, without inspecting facilities, without actually, dropping in on people and to see what they're doing.
Well, the peers that review it are interested in the science and the data, so they're going to be following the studies. It takes a journalist, I'm guessing, to follow the people and motivations. Politics and things.
Yes, exactly. But scientists, for some reason, aren't too happy with this. They feel that science is meant to be this self-correcting thing, which is going to make us all very, very happy. Which, in a way, they're right, in so much that if a fraudulent study arises, subsequent studies that try and replicate it are not going to do so, and so you just... by following the chain of logic, you'll say, well, that's an anomaly at least, if not fraud. But what's happening here is that because the media seem to jump on any paper that's published before there's any further testing, etc., it's turned into a bit of a problem. And so he's recommending that perhaps we should be regulating science to make sure that even the initial studies are conducted honestly. So what are your thoughts on that?
I can see why lots of scientists would be worried about it, thinking about the so-called Climate Gate scandal, which wasn't the gate at all. There was no scandal. It was just a way of collating data. A guy was asked to assemble data to show certain things, and where he didn't include certain elements of data, and then the climate denialists jumped on it, saying, look at him, he's hiding evidence that shows that global warming is actually a load of bollocks. And scientifically, there was nothing to the claim that he was hiding anything. But it just became a media storm. And people still talk about it now, like as if it's all been blown out of the water.
But also the MMR.
Ever-rising water.
Yeah, the MMR was possibly the one, as far as the public go. I mean, ClimateGate caused a lot of fuss, but as far as harm, I think MMR, Andrew Wakefield, him publishing his paper, and the media furore that followed, is possibly the best example of what can happen if, you know, studies are just allowed to be published, and, you know, the scientists given implicit trust.
That's certainly true, that the damage done by Andrew Wakefield is worse than the damage done by the idiot commentators who decided that ClimateGate was worth anything. But you can blame the journalists for all of that. If the scientists take on board a sort of self-regulation like this, it makes them accept some of the responsibility.
Yeah.
And that's probably what they're a bit wary of. Because then they're kind of inviting more ClimateGate-similar incidents and sort of endorsing it.
Sure.
So but I think that's why. I can see their point of view with that.
I think there's been calls for a long time for journalists to be better at reporting science. Do you think that maybe this is now a new tact because they've just failed to do so?
I don't know. It's too complicated a proposition. Because the scientists, they're just going to say, I don't care, I'm doing the data. That's all I care about. And whenever the media gets involved, I mean, you've probably got a bunch of stories loaded up to talk about tonight where there's bollocks been talked based on one study on mice. And it happens all the time. But if there's some kind of investigation that's sanctioned by scientists looking into things other than the data, then that's kind of overstepping their boundaries. That's not what they were trained to do as well.
Hmm.
Okay. And journalists are supposed to have gone through some training about journalistic ethics, although it seems that's not proving really to be the case in Britain.
I think the problem is, if you're run-of-the-mill journalist, I can understand that they're not going to have a grasp on science any better than the layperson, if all they are is just simply a journalist. But a science journalist, someone who deals with the scientific stories, should not be, putting spin on stories saying, you know, like the Daily Mail, this is going to cure cancer, or we found out what gene causes autism, or something like that. Those stories shouldn't be happening based on one study. And so, you know, I just can't believe that what we call science journalists are engaging in such, you know, spin. But is that a sign of newspapers that all they're interested in is, big stories? Or it all comes down to money, doesn't it, at the end of the day?
Yes. They might be chasing a little bit of money to finish off or to further their studies. So even though they're only at a preliminary stage, they'll release a little bit of gubbins and say, yeah, you can say about it whatever you want, basically. And then they'll cut out the clipping and they'll take it to somebody. Because whoring after money is unfortunately something that scientists have to do now.
Well, yeah, because there's not much government funding. It's so, and the private sector is expected to do it all. So, are people surprised that money plays a factor? So, okay, have you got a story for me?
Yeah, there's a brilliant thing in yesterday's Eye. The English Defence League defiant as it faces probe over extremist links.
Ah, bless yes.
Them. The ones that don't like these Muslimic extremists. there's been shown to be some links between members of the EDL and that lunatic in Norway, Anders Breivik, who, if we say anything, that's all happened since we were last on, and it's bloody appalling. The situation is awful, and nobody's going to try and make a joke about that, but to take the piss out of that man, to ridicule him, it's virtually mandatory, I think. Because there are lots of people saying, okay, he's done it wrong, but you can't disagree with what he's saying. In fact,
really?
Somebody on Facebook said, I would have supported him 100% if he had just stuck to bombs instead of killing them poor brainwashed children.
Sorry, was this someone that we knew, or just... at random.
No, this is from Monday's Eye, a Facebook group,
right, okay.
A far-right political nonsense group.
Yeah.
And on another forum, they may blame this on the right wing, but it's most certainly caused by the left-wing politicians and the injustices they serve up on a daily basis. Mentors.
Wow.
Yeah. In a posting on its website, the EDL published a list of newspaper articles which it claimed illustrated the problem of Muslimic extremism. No, they said Islamic. They did.
I prefer it. You do it that way. It's so much better.
Okay. No, but if I mess it up and I talk all stupid and that, then when I actually quote that verbatim instead of saying it wrong, it's not going to be so funny. Let's see. The anonymous author wrote, can't be that anonymous, a member of the EDL who can write. Come on. In a week that has seen such a terrible act of terrorism in Norway, a bit redundant, we almost decided against publishing the following short article, but that would be to do a disservice to all those that suffer as a result of Muslimic extremism. Now, therefore, is as good a time as any to continue to highlight cases of Muslimic extremism. And Scotland Yard is understood to be probing whether Anders met Combat 18 members and Column 88 members, both now considered defunct, but similar sort of Nazi Hitlerish groups. But Column 88, that sounds like to me it was surely invented after a member of C-18 misspelt C-18 on the toilet wall. C-8. Oh, shit. Oh, I've done it wrong now.
Someone with a stutter.
Ends in an 8. Stick another 8 on the end. That'd be fine.
Oh, great. Yeah. No, but, as I said to you the other night, when we were at our comedy gig, the bit that annoyed me was, you know, the rolling breaking news was that it was an act of terrorism, and there was speculation of Al-Qaeda involvement. But as soon as they found out it was a blonde-haired, blue-eyed guy, it was a madman. Which, I would say anybody who's going to gun down that many people and set off bombs is mad. But I'd say the same about somebody else. And just because they're, brown, doesn't mean, I don't think they're mad and give them this new label so I can set them aside. I think they're all mad. And I don't think there's any need to make any distinction. That's me.
Well, I think that it sounds terrible for us to comment in a dreadful way like that. All I'm going to say is, yes, the guy's a bloody lunatic, but the way that they were saying, oh, it's these Muslims, they're being all Muslim, and it's dreadful, and then as soon as they find out he's actually a Christian, they say, oh, he's an extremist Christian.
Well, yeah.
No, it's not an extremist. There's no extremist religion. Either you're a mental or you're not. And if you choose to believe in a religion, you're choosing to take on board stuff that you can't prove to anyone. It's you being a head case. You're the one responsible. You can't blame it on your God.
Okay, yeah. You made my point better than I did. But yeah, okay. That's what I meant. So, but that's what annoyed me about it. And I don't want to give that guy and his views any more time because the Norwegian the authorities don't want to.
There's been reaction all around the world. They asked right-wing mentals from Russia, France, Netherlands, Sweden, and Australia, where there are all right-wing head cases, what they thought, and they all basically said, oh, it's nothing to do with us. No, that's far too far. No, dreadful. Awful.
Yeah. And I'm getting feedback on Twitter from people saying, this sticking to bombs thing, absolutely disgusting. So,
oh, I know.
There you go. Was there anything else you wanted to touch?
Oh, shed loads
on?
Of stuff.
Yeah? Go on, go for it.
Let's see. Here's one. Can eating worms banish asthma? What do you reckon the answer to that question is?
I would say I'm not aware of any studies that have shown that.
Well, scientists discover common diseases are linked to being too clean.
Okay.
Let's see, such as diabetes, Crohn's disease, asthma, and heart attacks. The answer to this lies in swallowing parasitic worms and letting them live in our stomachs, apparently. Oh, God.
Okay, this sounds kind of like our friends from last week, Mr. Smith and Mr. Jape.
No, completely different people. There is some weight given in the medical community to the idea that increases in certain disorders and disabilities that we have are because of our more sanitary conditions taking away resistance to certain things.
Sure.
And there's a professor commenting on it. I don't think this guy is actually the source of all this. But he said, some of the ways we have distanced ourselves from other species are good. I do not miss smallpox. Well done there, I think. That's good. But there's a set of new ailments, including inflammatory bowel disease, rheumatoid arthritis, diabetes, and multiple sclerosis, which have become more common. And many of these seem linked to our immune systems. Oh, God.
Oh, no. Not yeast.
It could be yeast. I don't know. But he's throwing multiple sclerosis as well. So that's me and Rhys Morgan and my dad. We could have all been saved by swallowing live worms and having them living in our gut flora. They probably get trained while in there by those drill sergeants that we were talking about last week to be ass kickers.
Yeah, or you should have not eaten so much Marmite because it increased your yeast levels.
That is it. And, what else does he say? This is actually the guy who wrote the article, John Naish, in Daily Mail website, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
He wondered if the absence of intestinal parasites was causing Crohn's disease, if our bodies missed their worms' parasitic presence so badly they were increasingly attacking themselves. Such a possibility contradicted the accepted belief that medicine is meant, in part, to remove species from our body to make us healthy. To which I wrote, what? Medicine knows all about many thousands of microorganisms without which our bodies wouldn't operate at all.
Correct. So
I don't know. But yeah, there are tests that apparently show that parasitic worms can work. And this has been done on mice.
Oh.
When you put parasitic worms into the digestive systems of mice, you could stop them from getting irritable bowel disease. Oh no, wait. The mouse version of irritable bowel disease. Of course it's a different thing.
Yeah.
He tried something similar with humans, with Crohn's, in 1999. Each was given a glass of whipworm eggs to swallow. Whipworms are found in pigs' guts.
Oh, okay.
I'm sure he didn't tell him it was a glass of whipworm eggs.
Well, you kind of have to, for ethical reasons, surely. You got to tell people what they're having, you know. Unless it was a placebo.
Andrew Wakefield.
yeah, okay.
Well, 24 weeks later, all but one patient was doing better.
So you say all but one were dead.
And
that wouldn't have been funny.
This is at 29 humans. That was it. That was the total number. And it says 21 of them were in remission. And since then, other studies have found that when treated with worms, people with inflammatory bowel disease can improve, and diabetic mice may return to normal blood glucose levels. I don't know how a worm in your gut is supposed to make you suddenly produce insulin from a dead pancreas. That's mental.
Yeah, I mean, that fails on the plausibility angle there, but okay.
And I have to credit this study to have gotten further than mice in some of their research. But one 29-person study in 1999 that hasn't been followed up since, it hardly seems like a game changer to me. I don't know. I expect that if it had got such remarkable results, surely it wouldn't have been hidden away, would it?
No, you wouldn't think. But I don't understand people that will run with, you know, they'll find one study that confirms what they think or, you know, leads them to think something, and then we'll just keep on running with it. And that's where we were coming from last week with Pythagoras' trousers. It was like a tiny bit of evidence that hadn't been confirmed or that was really, you know, or went against the current understanding, and they were just running away with it, and that's not how science works. But
Oh, we'll have to tell them about it. These pigs, they've got worms in their guts. When was the last time you saw a pig with ME? Yeah? Yeah?
Yeah, you got a good point there. Wow, I didn't think of that. Shit, maybe they're right.
And because the article was written in typical Daily Mail fashion, it says, sadly, for sufferers of diseases caused by overreactive immune systems, any effective drug remains about 10 years away. And unfortunately, they say that about pretty much anything, any condition, or is it at least 10 years till you'll get a cure. They used to say that my entire life about MS. It was about 10 years and then there'll be a cure. And there'll be a cure in 10 years now.
Hmm.
It's a kind of nasty, weaselly thing to be saying when at the top of the article you listed 5 really serious things that apparently are going to be cured. And then he finishes with, until then, most of us would probably not want to eat worms instead. Comedy coder! Who saw that coming? It's incredible!
Yeah.
So, he's a brilliant journalist, that guy.
Yep, another one to add to the list to watch. Okay. I got one for you. Prince Charles branded a snake oil salesman by scientist. This is Edzard Ernst, one of Britain's first professor of complementary medicine. What's happened is, it sounds like they've got some guy who knows what he's talking about, and he's actually up in the higher echelons of alternative medicine. He's the person that does all that research, you know, clinical trials that return as results that say things like it's no better than placebo. Because the
co-author of Trick or Treatment with Simon Singh.
This is true, yes. This guy's brilliant. He's done a lot of great work looking into alternative therapies. Without his work, we would just be looking at whatever tiny, small, unblinded or poorly performed studies that certain people have done. He's the person that goes and does proper studies on larger samples and says, no, look, it's no better than placebo. Unfortunately, because he's been outspoken against Prince Charles's promotion of homeopathy, he's been basically, in a way, forced out of his job because pressure's been put on his department to silence him. And effectively, they said they're going to close the department. So he's now quit, and someone will be taking up a position, his position. But in the long term, it looks like it's going to disappear altogether, which really, really pisses me off. This really upsets me that politics, in a way, or the power of one person, can destroy research like this. So, yeah, that was something that really pissed me off today.
That's appalling. And this on the back of the coalition government, it was in a position where it could have forced homeopathy out of the NHS and decided instead to say, people have a choice.
Yeah, but what they don't understand is a choice between something that works and something that doesn't work isn't a choice if what you want is something that works. They don't understand that. They just think... Yeah,
like the choice between, if you've got cancer, there's chemotherapy, or you could eat a bag of pork scratchings a day.
There is a choice
to just eat a bag of pork scratchings a day, but it doesn't work.
That's just a choice of what you want to do tomorrow. That's not a choice of what therapy do you want to get better. And that's where there's some major logic missing. When you got proponents like our friend, the MP, was it Tredinick or whatever his name is?
Oh, Tredinick.
Yeah, who's out there saying we need to give people choice. It's cheaper. Well, it's cheaper because it doesn't fucking work. It's just sugar or water or,
They keep on saying there's no side effects like there are with those dreadful chemicals. Yeah, because there's no active ingredient. It does the precise square root of fuck all.
Exactly. So it just annoys the hell out of me.
Yeah, a choice is a choice between effective treatments.
Correct. Otherwise, you're comparing apples and oranges, really. So, There you go. But I'm hoping that this story, as well as one concerned with, you know, levels of evidence, etc., might bring me to my Facebook discussion. But I'm going to save that for last if we have time, if that's okay. Have you got a story?
Okay. Oh, yeah. I've got a story here that... I don't know if you know that the Daily Mail has got on its website. There's lots of US content on it. There was a story from the US which has been commented on by, well, quite a few people who are a bit weird and sick. But I don't think they mean to be, they're just mental.
Okay.
There's an awful, tragic story about a 6-year-old girl who died after getting trapped in an old-fashioned microwave in the back garden.
Oh dear.
Yeah, that's an appalling story. And there's a whole neighbourhood devastated after they went out and searched for her. And in the comments, it's got people saying, maybe she was trapped in a large cooler. I have a large microwave and there's no way a 6-year-old kid can fit in it. And let's see, she crawled into a microwave oven and became trapped when the door closed. Really? Must be an odd microwave, even if it is old. I don't see how you'd be able to close the door. Not from the inside, anyway. I think it must have been an industrial microwave with a latch. These people are banging on about the fact, the logistics of it.
Hmm.
That's the thing about the story that is fascinating for them. How can that happen? I've got a microwave. You couldn't fit a baby in there. Well, I'll try.
Yeah, yeah. I could only get hamsters in mine.
I know. But yeah, obviously, looking at the comments on a story on the Daily Mail, that way lies madness. I shouldn't have done it. But, Christ, it's a sobering thing.
I tell you what, it's time for a Catholic story. Okay.
Hooray.
Am I allowed to guess what it is before you do it? Because obviously there's so much crazy Catholic shit going on every week. It could be anything. But I think I may actually be able to guess which one you're going to do.
Okay, go for it.
If it's wrong, well, we'll decide from there. I'm going to go for Catholic Church's plea could rule out damages for priests. Basically, this is the Catholic Church saying they shouldn't be accountable for priests because priests aren't employees. Is that the one?
No, that's not the one.
Okay, do you want to hear about this one, or do you want to do yours first?
Yeah, please.
Yeah. Basically, what's happened is the church is trying to say, oh, well, you know, priests, they're not strictly employees like in like a business, so we shouldn't be held accountable. But I think, yet again, they missed the point on it. People think the Catholic Church should be accountable, not because of one rogue priest. You know, if it was just like one rogue guy... the church didn't know anything about it, then I wouldn't really blame them. But that's not the case, is it? It's the case that the Catholic Church has facilitated crime and rape that people want to hold them accountable.
Yeah, if the priest was doing it on his day off, that's fine. But what are these priests wearing to gain the trust of the children and the families? If they were wearing overalls, fair enough, say it's nothing to do with us. But seeing as they're wearing the dog collars...
Well, you know, I might not even hold that necessarily against the church. I mean, you know, people can gain trust by wearing, you know, like a doctor's uniform or a policeman's uniform or anything like that. And I wouldn't hold, like, you know, the medical profession responsible.
You would if they didn't strike off the doctor and they just moved them to a different
That's my point. If they facilitated it by, you know, just moving him to another hospital so we could carry on, or hid the facts or interfered with investigations... Then yeah. Hell yeah, and that's the point. And yet again, this is the Catholic Church just not getting it, and just trying to cover their asses. So,
but that the authority lent by being a doctor, for example, is it exactly why the Catholic Church must feel responsible and accept responsibility?
Yeah,
because they have lent this authority. It's on their word.
But, you know, for them to just turn around and start making excuses so they don't have to pay out compensation, that doesn't show any, you know, being contrite over it at all. So, personally, I think that they should be saying, look, we're really, really sorry. Here's some money. Not, hey, don't come to us for money. Nothing to do with us. They're not even our employees. They're an employee of God. Go and speak to him. So,
Yeah, totally not getting it. But no, that was my story. My story is the review of Winnie the Pooh. It's brilliant.
Okay.
Normally, they look through every film, desperate to find what's offensive. Like, this is a wonderful story about a couple of kids, but one of them says Jesus. It's dreadful. It's appalling. But this one is delightfully innocent, free not only of problematic material, but of tiresome potty humour as well. And as Pooh, Cummings, what's the guy's name? Jim Cummings, a celebrated Catholic voice actor, is uncanny in evoking the stories. It's bizarre. I love the Winnie the Pooh films. I think they're fantastic. It's so odd to see them normally saying, don't watch this, don't watch that. If you watch this, you've got to do it with your eyes closed. And then this one comes along, and oh, he's a lovely Catholic actor, so he. And that appalling Irish accent leads me to the real story, which is that, the Vatican recalled the Irish papal nuncio, they call it. It's the Vatican diplomat, basically. But if they call it some fancy term that nobody else uses, then we'll think they're all special.
Yeah.
On the Catholic News Service painted that as a, we take this so seriously, we're bringing him back so that we can deal with this properly. And everybody else is saying, oh, the Vatican's scared, they've recalled the guy.
Yeah.
Because basically he's being hounded for interviews and saying, oh dear, you dropped the ball on this one, didn't you?
Yeah, so, again, in a way, they're trying to circumvent investigation, in a way, by recalling him. So,
Nobody's, in the stories that I read of this, nobody's come right out and said that.
Well,
I've got a feeling that, good man, I think it's true. I think the people are just chuffed that Ireland, as a whole, are appalled at this. And they have been such a mainstay for the Catholic Church. If they said, this dreadful thing's happening, we have to recall the diplomat fella. Oh, where's this happening now? Ireland. It's happening on an island somewhere. Oh, that's okay, there won't be many people. No, Ireland. Actually, bloody Ireland, are you kidding me? That's like the most Catholic place outside of Vatican City, possibly more.
No, it's a result. But I'm cynical, obviously. I don't know why. Maybe it's because of, you know, this has been going on for so long and no one seems to have learned any lessons and it's continued and it's systemic that, I'm very cynical.
But yeah, it seems like all of Ireland has said that is enough. That's more than enough shit from the Catholic Church. And Enda Kenny is...
You said last week, and
never
and
have
that
to
was...
buy a beer for himself ever again.
Well, it depends where he goes. If he goes to the Vatican, he may have to buy his own beer, but we'll see.
Do you imagine there are many bars in the Vatican?
Hell yeah! Where are they going to get their gin and tonics from?
That's a good point.
Yeah.
I've got a lovely little story here that. Anne Widdecombe is about to star in a panto.
Oh.
After a long career in politics, it's perhaps no wonder that Daily Express columnist, this appeared in the Express, and Strictly Come Dancing sensation, really, Anne Widdecombe. Strictly Come Dancing, car crash and clusterfuck, Anne Widdecombe has no fear of her upcoming debut in panto.
Yeah.
This is not Shakespeare, she said. If you forget a line, it'll be ad-libbed. It's not the end of the world.
Kind of like a dancing, in a way.
No, the jokes just write themselves, don't they?
Yeah.
This isn't her debut in panto. She's been part of the Tory party until at least 1976.
This is true. And did you see my... Oh, you don't follow me on Twitter, do you? You're one of those ignorant peasants.
I've got a Twitter account just to enter competitions where you have to tweet the answer. That's it.
Oh, right, okay. No. I'm on Twitter. And today, in Cardiff Central Station, I was waiting for my train, and there was a woman who looked so much like Anne Widdecombe, I didn't know whether to go up to her and throw a bucket of paint on her, or maybe pie her in the face or something. I was 10 seconds away from running down to the Marks and Spencers and buying a pie. She looked that much like Anne Widdecombe.
They could have been. David Cameron was in Caerphilly just the other day.
You see? Yeah. They're everywhere, these Tories. So, but she was saved by the fact that my train turned up, so I had to get on it. But
and
I tell you now,
it probably wasn't her, and you're going to save from a prison sentence there.
Oh, okay. I'm only joking, Trev. It's just a joke.
Okay.
But I'm saying this now, Widdy. I know you're out there, and when I see you, you're going to get a pie in the face. Okay.
Oh God.
So, yeah, maybe I should tweet it. The police will come. The police will come and arrest me for it then, for inciting hatred or something.
Good point. Yeah. Well, we haven't got enough time to properly address this story, but I'm sure you will have seen it. I think this one was in the Express, or it might have been the Mail, where it said, "The shirking classes. Just 1 in 14 incapacity claimants is unfit to work."
I've seen this. Yeah. I saw a different figure, though. I saw, is it 1 in 7? Or am I thinking of a different statistic? I can't remember, but carry on.
Yeah, it was on the same day. The Mail had one, and the Express had another, and I can't remember which was which.
Hmm.
But it was just full of appalling, dreadful crap.
So what did they do? They gave them a banana to hold, and as long as they kept it in their hand, they said you could be giving hand jobs to Tories or something.
Well, part of it is the ATOS. ATOS, yeah. So they could be doing hand jobs indeed. Now ATOS
hey,
is the
that
acronym
joke
for the
worked
company
brilliantly.
That was. Yeah. Lucky for setting me up. Yeah, it's the company that they employed and paid masses of money to assess everybody. And they assessed everybody. They brought loads of people off incapacity benefit. And 40% of the people that they brought off, who were, again, appealed and got back on the benefit. So the cost to the taxpayer was massive. There was no saving from the amount of money it cost to do this. It's turned into an enormous nightmare. Now, this wasn't a Tory thing. That was Labour that actually did that. I went for my interview. It was ridiculous. Guy couldn't get me out of there fast enough. Once he found out that the thing about me is I might have fits. He asked me what my illness was. I explained. He hurriedly read through my notes. And he was basically thinking to himself, shit, we insisted he came. He had to come here alone. He could have a fit right here in my office. Get out, get out, get out, get out, get out. But yeah. That's just one good idea that the guy had to say, this one's through. There's plenty of people where things are just more complicated than that.
Hmm.
There's good days and bad days. Yeah, loads of people are taking the piss, but there's lots of employed people taking the piss. There's somebody who worked at, what was it, a tax office call centre, who she claimed benefits for the person who used to live in her house and invented 4 children, so she could claim the benefit for them.
Well, only a couple of weeks ago, we discussed people that kept a dead corpse, you know, a corpse in their house so they could claim pension. So I'm not saying there's not frauds, but I think, you know, sending people who can't work out, you know, being tougher with people, and you know, it's not going to save as much money as they think, as you pointed out, because half of them ended up getting reassessed and then they went back on it and it was all a waste of time.
Can I mention Emma Boone of the Taxpayers Alliance, or a bunch of sods there. She's like a spokesperson for them. She said, changes to the system are needed so that those who can work are helped to find a job and not left trapped on benefits. However, there are those who are well enough to work, but see being sick as an easy option. This blistering twat doesn't even mention the actual sick. Maybe she was edited, but I doubt the Taxpayers Alliance really give a cup of warm piss about the sick. It seems that her only actual job, that I could find evidence of on the internet, is working as a freelance journalist. And yet she's supposed to represent the hard-working Joes of the UK public. I think she's representing David Cameron, if you ask me. She's not got a journalist degree, no. She graduated with a master's in mental philosophy.
And mental philosophy?
Now she's a master of mental philosophy, which is fantastic.
Hang on. What the hell is mental philosophy?
I have no idea. That sounds very bizarre. Sounds like if she had done maybe philosophy and psychology.
Yeah,
then there
I
might
mean,
have been some aspect
of
that
mind,
she investigated
you know,
in her master's.
I can understand that, but mental philosophy sounds fishy. Does it say what university it came from so I can check out what the hell it's about?
University of Edinburgh.
Okay, thank you very much. I shall check that after the show.
Cool. But yeah, there's sort of weird misleading facts thrown all over the place. And this 1 in 14 crap. They mention in the article that 1 in 3 people abandon their claim halfway through. Mm. And they see that as, that's some faking git. Well, maybe that person is no longer ill. Maybe that person got better. That's something to be happy about. Maybe that person managed to find an incredibly rare way to be able to work with their disability or their problem or whatever it is. That's no reason to say that they were whinging, shirking bastards.
No, definitely.
Oh. I've got started now.
Yeah, sorry. I knew that would be a very touchy subject for you.
Oh, and Sarah Palin released a documentary, a two-hour infomercial about herself in America.
Could you really sit there for 2 hours and watch that?
It's called The Undefeated, so she's apparently the Vice President of America. I didn't know that. It's done some of the worst performance ever. It's just done appallingly badly. It's going to get a DVD release. It's suddenly been rushed ahead, coming to a garage forecourt near you.
Oh, 2 hours of that. I mean, did you actually watch Expelled, No Intelligence Allowed?
No.
I sat through most of that before Ben Stein's voice really got to... started to annoy me, and I just had to turn it off. And I thought, if I can't cope with Ben Stein, who... to be fair, was okay in Ferris Bueller. Then I'm stuffed with Sarah Palin, because as soon as she opens her mouth, I want to vomit or defecate, you know, depending on, you know, what mood I'm in. So, yeah.
And
no.
Now there's Michelle Bachmann. That's another one.
Oh.
And her fruity husband, who's the campest thing since a Christmas tree in a red dress, is a doctor who's trying to pray away the gay for loads of fellas.
Yeah, he's not gay. He's cured now.
Camp? No, he's camp. That's what I'm saying. And that's an opinion about his behaviour, not about his sexuality.
Do you think maybe in 10, 20 years' time there may be a divorce and he goes on to perhaps find some young Filipino male or something?
I think he'll find that before the divorce and that'll be the cause.
Okay. But you get my point.
That's idle speculation, but yeah.
But that would be the schadenfreude of the liberal elite, of course.
That's because we hate ourselves.
Yeah. We love Melanie Phillips, but we just won't admit it. Okay. Have I got time to just quickly talk about idiots online?
Oh, you have to be very quick, but yeah. Please.
Okay. No, forget it.
I
won't do it.
No,
I won't do
bollocks
it. No bollocks to it. I'll just edit out the question.
Chips, okay,
yeah, sod you. I had a tough week. No one gave a fuck, though. I said, check out how nuts these people are. And everyone's like, yeah, we know they're nuts. We know it. Why are you there? Why are you talking to them? I'm like going, well, you know, I'm trying to do my bit for skepticism.
Oh,
no.
Yeah, that thing. That we've got to have at least 10 minutes for that. That was very funny, though.
What, now or another time?
Oh, we'll have to do that next week.
Okay, but I just don't know if the thread's still going to be there because the event ends on the 31st of August. Oh, no, it's August. No, okay, great. It should be there next week. Fantastic. We will talk about it. I want to give it some time. Have you read the full thing?
Yeah.
Okay,
wow.
Great.
No, this isn't a place to argue that. Yeah, it is. This is where the argument led, you dozy woman.
Yeah, okay, so you have read it to the end. Great. All right, no problem. I will I'll post a link on this for people to maybe go and read it if they're a sucker for pain, and then we might talk about it next week.
Yeah. Sorry, we're babbling amongst ourselves about something we haven't told the audience about.
No. I had a Facebook argument,
basically.
And
then you'll get it all.
Yeah, you'll love it. So, news this week that we missed was the South African dead man who woke up in a morgue. Obviously, he didn't wake up dead. They just thought he was dead.
Right.
And that's it. We did quite well, actually.
Cool.
So, okay, fine.
Oh, and well, Michelle Bachmann, the anti-gay bullying, she's got a string of teenage suicides in her backyard. All because they can't be accepted by their neighbours for being gay. Hmm. And this woman wants to be president.
Yeah, but she'll just turn it around to say that, see, don't be gay. You got a higher rate of suicide if you're gay. Which Jesus. Makes me want to burn stuff down. Okay. I'm going to wrap it up. The last thing I wanted to say was, I'm running the half marathon in Cardiff in October. And this is to raise money for Stickler Syndrome, which is a charity very close to my heart. So I would appreciate anybody who's listening, who has a spare couple of quid, to give it to me. I have a website. It's set up so that, you know, it's all kosher. It's not going into my private Swiss bank account. It's justgiving.com/stabler. And you can go on there and you can read about the charity and you can donate your money, and they accept all credit cards, PayPal and all that kind of stuff. So please go and do that. You got anything you want to add, Trev?
No, I'm done.
Great.
I'm happy.
Well, thank you everyone for listening. I hope it wasn't too random this week. And we want more feedback from anyone. You don't have to be a celebrity like Cheryl Cole. You don't have to be in Girls Aloud. You don't have to be any kind of, you know, skeptical celebrity like Rhys Morgan or something like that. It could be anybody. So send us your feedback. Tell us what you think. But for this week, it's goodbye from me.
Bye then.
Oh, that's rubbish.
Okay. You want some weird catchphrase goodbye?
No, I just thought, you know, it's goodbye from me and it's goodbye from him. You'd be rolling in his grave.
I'm not going to be stealing stylish stuff from the two Ronnies who were just at the... Okay, it's not really stylish at all, is it?
Okay, all right. From me, John Stabler,
How about goodbye? Bye, everybody.
Okay, bye, everybody.
Stop listening. Go home.